This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
How seriously do you guys take the safety position in the NFL? I know for the longest time now the Cowboys have seemingly not taken that position, or they've taken it for granted by not investing in it. Even Xavier Woods is a low-round draft pick. Jeff Heath, was he undrafted, I believe? And, you know, he made it onto the team. And while we wanted to believe that he could be the guy, Jeff Heath was not the guy. And now the Cowboys are kind of looking at this situation going, okay, do we have the right safety? When was the last time we had a top-flight safety on this team? Can y'all remember?
Darren Woodson.
Woodson, right?
That's the last one for you?
Yeah.
Man, see, and that's just because they drafted Roy Williams so high that it became.
He had moments. He had good moments.
Roy Williams?
Yeah, there were times, but, I mean, as his career progressed, I mean, to me, what I remember is big hits, and then also he would always blame somebody else when somebody got behind him for a touchdown. It was always somebody else's fault that somebody caught the big pass.
Yeah, no, and he was bad at coverage. Like, he was poor in coverage. He was – people expected him to be a Ronnie Lott-type hitter, and he just was not a Ronnie Lott-type hitter. Now, Adrian Amos is the Packers safety. He is a one-time first-team All-Pro in, I think, about 4 or 5 years in the NFL. And, Kevin, whenever you have time on your hands, when you're not practicing or you're in your off-season or you're at the house – by yourself, you sit there and you start coming up with things to do. Well, Adrian Amos decided that he's taken to Twitter, and you can see it with top wide. He has a top three all-time wide receivers. He's got his top three all-time safeties. He's got his top three all-time corners. That being said, this list of the safeties was the one that got Ronnie Lott trending today. And oh. I know in most situations, if you see, like right now, if you see Ronnie Lott trending, what are you going to think?
Rona.
Yeah, exactly. So when you wake up and you look at your trending and you see one of your legendary players trending, you're like, oh, no, they got it too. Well, yeah. It's because he was left off of this list. And I started to wonder if this list is more difficult to put together than I actually think and than more people think out there, because his top three all-time safeties – number one, Ed Reed, which I think a lot of people could make a very valid argument that Ed Reed is the number one safety ever to play the game. Broadus would probably throw Darren Woodson in the top two. The number two safety he added on there was Sean Taylor, which is amazing.
Okay.
How much love
that's just silly.
Young players still have for Sean Taylor.
I mean, and Sean Taylor would have been awesome, it looks like the year he died – it looked like he was ready to take over the league. He was fantastic, and he was named to the Pro Bowl after the fact, but, I mean, that's just silly.
Number three on this list for him is Troy Polamalu. And so Ronnie Lott is not on this list, and that's what got the entire Twitter world into a massive stir. And so I started thinking, okay, who are my top three safeties? And Brian Dawkins' name came up because I thought Brian Dawkins was an elite-level safety. Darren Woodson's name obviously comes up. My problem is I didn't see Cliff Harris play. There are a lot of players, and I don't really remember Ronnie Lott playing that much other than whenever I was at the skating rink and they were playing against the Broncos in the Super Bowl, and there I was. He was on that team.
Oh, yeah.
And there I was getting Coke after Coke because, they said you get a Coke for every touchdown that the team you pick scores. And the Niners were scoring all the touchdowns in that game. So I feel like Ronnie Lott deserves to be on this because everything I've ever heard about the greatest safety of all time, it always started with Ronnie Lott.
Is it because he also was like a a cornerback? Do you think that might be why they're kind of like splitting him off from there? Because otherwise, I don't get it.
I think what he's doing is he's doing, you know, when I'd have discussions about stuff like this with Kavanaugh, Kavanaugh will only pick people he's ever seen. He's not going to pick somebody that he never really saw play during their career. And I do think Amos is doing that here. So no fault of his own. He's picking people that he saw play, heroes of his, guys that he grew up and wanted to be, and guys that he got to see play the sport. So I think when it comes to Ronnie Lott, he probably is the greatest safety of all time. But if you're right now 30 years old, you didn't ever see Ronnie Lott play a game of football. They might not even know who Ronnie Lott is. I mean, let's be honest. Sometimes you ask guys, hey, who's in your division? Who's in your conference? And they're not going to be able to name them all because they're just not good at that. They're just like, I'm just playing the sport. I love the sport. This team drafted me. I found out our rival is the Eagles once I got drafted by the Cowboys. And I think the Redskins and Giants are in our division. Like, they would probably get to there. And then you'd start saying, all right, well, who's in your conference? And they're like, I don't know conference. I just play football. Who's the greatest safeties of all time? Well, here's the three that I saw that I really liked. And you're like, what about Ronnie Lott? What about Rod Woodson? What about Darren Woodson? Mm. And they're going to be like, I don't know who those people are.
Yeah, Ken Houston. You know, there are tons of names of players that I think that a lot of people wouldn't know. And you know what? I wonder if that's why Darren Woodson doesn't get kind of the love that he deserves. He wasn't a loud player. You know, he didn't have seasons of 12 interception. You know, he didn't have his numbers. You had to watch the game of Darren Woodson to be like, that's why that dude was so good. That's why he was as good as he was at what he did. I mean, Jack Tatum's name pops up, right? Like, when you start thinking of these guys, they're names that we could probably never even fathom. Steve Atwater, Kevin, we've talked with him before. I think we had him on the show when we were down at the Super Bowl. His name pops up.
I got somebody different for you in doing my research for this segment. I would like to say I will fall in line with most people, and I will say Ed Reed and Ronnie Lott. However, I'd like to cast my third vote for Emlyn Tunnell, the first ever black player in the Pro Football Hall of Fame and the first player who exclusively was a defensive back in the NFL Hall of Fame. So check out these numbers, all right? So if you want to go off of interceptions, Brian Dawkins, 37. Okay, yeah, that's all right. Troy Polamalu, 32.
Okay. All right, nice.
Ronnie Lott, 63.
That's a lot of interceptions for a safety. But you're right, he was one of those guys that could do both. But that dude right there could cover and destroy you with a hit.
So Ronnie Lott, 63. Ed Reed, 64. Emlyn, 79.
And that was in an era where they didn't pass.
That actually is oddly true. He was all decade in the
50s. He intercepted the pitches. It was amazing how fast he was.
He was first team all pro 6 times. That's one more than Ed Reed, although 2 less than Ronnie Lott. So that's right. I'm going a totally different direction. Emlyn Tunnell, Ed Reed, and Ronnie Lott. That's my group. That's who I'm going with.
Somebody just threw out Merton Hanks. Kevin, would you like to tell your feeling on Merton Hanks?
No. Stop it. What are we doing?
What about Darren Sharper? Your thoughts on Darren Sharper?
Ooh, did Darren Sharper go on to do bad things?
I mean, like,
in life?
On the field, he was really good at what he did.
Yeah, but he did some bad stuff.
Some really bad things.
Did you put Woodson? Where does he fit in your hierarchy?
I'm trying to figure out because I'm looking at a list, and I had a huge argument a while back that he was much better than John Lynch. This list currently has him at 16 and John Lynch at 17. And John Lynch is in, right? Like, John Lynch is in the Hall of Fame. Darren Woodson somehow is not. It doesn't make any sense to me how he's not because of the amount of Cowboys that are in, because of the amount of Cowboys from that era that are in, too. I mean, you have Troy and Emmitt and Mike. Those guys take over. So
you know what's amazing, though? The Cowboys don't have many people from that era in. When you look at what the Steelers did, and I know they did it for a little bit of a longer time in the 70s, and when you look at maybe the 49ers in the 80s and stuff, and you look at the Cowboys, Charles Haley is kind of the only defensive player in. Yeah. Number one defense in the NFL, yeah. And that's it. Now, Deion Sanders is in. He joined the Cowboys for the last Super Bowl. So you have one. You're like, man, the Great Wall of Dallas. So unbelievable. So great. How many people are in? Really zero.
Russell
Larry
Maryland?
Allen got in, but Larry nope. Allen wasn't there for the first two Super Bowls.
Tony Tolbert?
Nope.
No. Nope. Like, I mean, that's the Cowboys get really very little respect. And then when you talk to people that aren't big Cowboy fans, they'll say, it was all the offensive line. Emmitt was just a product of that offensive line. He wasn't good. And you're like, well, then why is nobody respected on that offensive line in the history of the NFL? And they're like, Troy Aikman wasn't very good. It was just handing it to Emmitt. Or it was. And you're like, well, then why aren't more people, if that was such an unbelievably great team with so much talent, why do they get so disrespected when it comes to voting people into the Hall of Fame?
That's a good point. That's a really good point there, Mike. That's a big question. And I do wonder, you know, Darren Woodson not being in, if he made it, would that validate a little bit more of that argument then for you, Mike? Would that
yeah.
make you go, okay, well, you know, they finally put that guy in?
I tell you what, recently watching the 1992 NFC Championship game, and he was a rookie in that game, he had a major impact on plays that Steve Young didn't make.
Yes.
He was able to tackle Steve Young a lot in that game, and plays that looked like they might be bigger plays, Darren Woodson was able to shed blockers and then make a play and limit situations that the 49ers probably were able to have success against most teams. Steve Young was the MVP that year, so I just thought watching that game, you kind of forget – who had major impacts. You can remember offensively who had a lot of major impacts, but when you watch that game again, you're like, wow, Darren Woodson for a rookie had a major impact in that NFC Championship game where the Cowboys were a touchdown underdog and end up winning that game.
Is Polamalu in the mix for you guys? Because, and whenever we talk about these safeties, you know, Kevin, you brought up all the interceptions that those guys had. But Polamalu played close to the line and made, like, impact plays close to the line before, in an era before they started turning to, hey, it's a downfield game. Like, he got out of the game. He was basically an extra linebacker that could also make plays downfield, too.
Okay, but I don't – and, I mean, that's all fair. I don't think I would put him ahead of – like, I definitely wouldn't put him in the same class or ahead of – I guess Woodson, for example, because, all right, so if you don't want to use interceptions, of which Woodson has twice as many as Polamalu, so take a look at, like, Polamalu has 12 sacks, 14 fumbles, and 3 touchdowns, okay? Compare that to Woodson, who has 33 forced fumbles, 20 sacks, and 13 touchdowns. Like, Woodson's numbers kind of dwarf Polamalu, and I'm not doing exactly the same thing, but he was also named Defensive Player of the Year and was first, or as was Polamalu, and was first or second team All-Pro 8 times versus Polamalu's 6. So I would put Woodson ahead of him. And by the way, in case that argument ever comes up again for you, Corey, Charles Woodson dwarfs John Lynch in every category.
Darren or Charles?
Charles.
Charles Woodson, okay.
Yeah, okay. If you're arguing Darren Woodson,
yeah.
Okay, look, that's a thing that I can't really understand, because Darren Woodson, more championships, more first-team All-Pros. So how John Lynch advances to the finals of the Pro Football Hall of Fame voting while Darren Woodson can't get out of the semifinals, I don't understand.
Yeah, I guess that was my biggest thing last night when I was looking at this. And Mike, I think Mike's right. Obviously, a younger player is going to look at and view, you know, the players that he saw, the players he emulated, the players he wanted to be like growing up. And so that's going to stick with him. The Jerry Rices, like, those are the undisputed. It's like nobody can say Jerry Rice.
Did he have Jerry Rice on his wide receiver list?
Yeah, he did have Jerry Rice on his wide receivers list. He had he had Randy Moss on there too. I'm trying to remember who it was that he had for his third one. Hold on real quick.
T.O.?
Calvin Johnson.
Okay. Hmm.
He said, y'all are going to be mad at that, but I don't care because I'm biased. You ain't seen him in person before. And I guess having to play against him before, like, makes a big difference. But yeah. Then on his corners, he had Deion Sanders, Champ Bailey, and it depends on what you're looking for. And as his number three guy. And I think that's the thing, is across the board with these safeties, I don't know if you can put any of those safeties that are the elites and that have stood out, even Earl Thomas, can you put that position in a box? Because I don't think that Ed Reed shared very similar stuff to Troy Polamalu.
No,
he pointed out
right.
that Roy Williams could hit hard, but he was not Ronnie Lott. Sean Taylor was maybe the best combination of all those guys, but obviously his career was cut short. And then when it comes to Darren Woodson, he was a different guy than all these. And Brian Dawkins was a different player than all those guys. So the position of safety is fascinating to me, because I guess when you find that right type of athlete that can see the field in a certain way, you just kind of got lucky being the team that got that guy.
I'll say last thing, it's amazing how there's so much passing in high school and college, and yet every time we get to the draft, and whether it's Broaddus or Kavanaugh or Dane Brugler, they're like, there's just not many good safeties in this draft. And I'm like – what? Why not? They're throwing the ball 50 times a game in high school games now. How are we not developing safeties that can cover any human being?
That's a really good point.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.